Hey, I'm Trita.
I'm Paulina.
And I go by Sharifa. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks to everyone that's listened, you know, and actually followed us on Instagram. So today, welcome back to episode 2. Today we are going to be discussing Insecure, season 4, episode 9. We're going to be discussing the Netflix drama, Blood and Water, the BBC drama, Sitting in Limbo, and the new HBO and BBC series, I May Destroy You. And then we're going to move into quite a bit of current affairs. And we will be finishing off with the anti-racist campaign.
Yep. Oh, we've got a lot, a jam-packed session today. Where I guess we're going to start with Insecure season 4, episode 9. My favorite episode so far, guys. I think the best way I could even start by talking about this is just to focus on each individual relationships that happened this week. So if we start off with the opening and we talk about Issa and Lawrence, I kind of felt that they had sex the first time round. And it was, so like, they had sex whenever they had sex. I thought that was going to be it. I thought it was just going to be, you know what, thanks, lovely time. I kind of know where I am with you. And then this, the opening scene of this episode is we see them hanging out. We see them being the old Issa, well, acting like the new improved Issa and Lawrence. I was like, okay, girl, this is interesting. I love the fact that they felt so comfortable with one another. And it just felt like we were going back to season 1, but happier times, if that made any sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just kind of felt like, yes, I'm good to see.
Can I just say, I couldn't stop smiling. I felt like I was in the room. Like, oh my God. I'm in the room.
No, you're in the room. Girl. At what point were you in this room?
I didn't mean it. I meant I was just so happy. Like, oh my God, it's happening again. Like, I was really happy for them. Like, I was in their relationship. But I really did appreciate, like, just the vibes that they had between each other. I really liked the chemistry that they had. Mm. I like the fact that they're now being honest with each other. So, like, she's like, oh, just so you know, like, I'm going to help Nathan move. And I don't remember if I told you. I loved the fact that they were trying to just develop and start on a open note rather than keeping things and hiding stuff again, that which is what sparked the relationship in the first place.
I liked it. I was smiling like Paulina, but my issue is I was smiling, but I was just hoping it's just not honeymoon stage. You know how it just felt like they were dating. I know they've got history, but it just felt like, okay, yeah, they you know, they're happy. You know, I was smiling. I was just like, when the novelty wears out, would this be them? Would this be the growth? Or would it just be like, I don't know.
Why do you think that? Because you said this last week as well. You think it's not going to last, but look, they proved us wrong this week.
It's not that they're not going to last. I just feel like old habits might come back, and that when it will be really tested, it might be, oh, we've really grown in our experiences, or it may really shy all down again. And it's like, okay, we are really not meant to be together. But again, you won't know till you try. So right. I guess if they want to, they should try. But just for me, I was just like, oh my gosh, I really want them to stay together, marry and see all the babies. And
Issa did ask him, what is this? And we never really got a definitive answer from him. He never said, or they never said it's girlfriend, boyfriend kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that leads us on to what's going to happen in the front. You kind of, is she going to stay? Is she going to go? What have they said? And all the rest of it. So you never
don't
know.
Don't forget as well, though, he had the interview in, was it Seattle? San Diego?
San Francisco.
I don't know. Yeah. The States. But yeah, I think that's, they don't know what their future holds because he doesn't know what he's doing. That's why he can't answer.
I think he's just trying to put everything into, not everything, exactly. He's trying to put into her court in the sense that, as he said, he said, what do you want it to be? And then she said, obviously, she mentioned Condola. I was like, condolences, Condola, bye. I know that's bad, but I was just like, bye.
Nobody cares.
At least we got that answer. But it was just like, he was just so chilled about it. It's like, and I feel like he doesn't want to put so much on it and be disappointed. So he's trying to leave it to her and say, look, what do you want it to be? Like, I want it to be something, but I'm not going to put anything on it. It's just, you know, it's up to you. And the whole Nathan thing, it was like, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Do you?
Their energy is definitely different because they don't have the stress of what they, like, she was what footing the bill the whole time. He was jobless. So the fact that they're on different stages, that they are more confident by themselves, so they're not relying on each other, I think
they're
that
new and improved,
help.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That helps the new dynamic of their relationship rather than, him just being a bit of a bum and then her being stressed.
Can I just mention, the sex scenes.
Like I said, I was smiling like I was there, okay?
Woo! I was just, melanin was just all over my screen. I was like, wow, okay, all right. Ooh, okay.
Different. It's not too young to have this kind of chat.
Well, yeah, it was good to see. It was good to see.
Well, we have hope for Issa and Lawrence. I'm not sure where I think their relationship's going to go. I do think that at some point towards the end, whether Insecure goes into season 6, 7, 8.
Oh, okay.
No, as in whether it belongs.
Yeah. Further, yeah.
That, yeah, towards the end, they probably will end up with one another. But I think their relationship is not solidified just yet because they've got so many obstacles. You've got Condola, you've got San Francisco, and you've got Nathan to contend with.
But
so
Condola's not around. She's done.
We don't know yet.
No, she was literally.
Okay, girl.
Never seen her again.
There could be a theory that she's
pregnant.
No,
boys. No,
negative vibe. That she's pregnant.
No negative vibe. No negative energy.
Anyway, let's touch on.
Probably got back of her ex.
Let's touch on the whole Issa Molly situation. Can I just, like, I need to vent, right?
And Molly gets on my tit.
Where I thought Molly, I used to like Molly a lot. And then this season, Molly's just taken a whole new turn. You went to counselling. Your counsellor was literally saying to you, girl, this person is affecting you. It's X, Y, Z. Everybody's different, but you're the common denominator. Can you not see that you are the problem?
And she didn't even see it.
She didn't see it. And she was still like, she needs to apologize. She needs to do this. She needs to do that. And I'm just like, what is your beef?
Negative.
But the thing is, she acknowledges that Issa is an important person in her life. She blatantly said, she's my best friend. It's
because
Issa.
Who are her friends?
But the thing is,
exactly.
The thing is, Molly, she's a lawyer. She's used to just being right, if that makes sense. She's got that confidence that no matter what the situation, she can argue her case.
Sorry, that doesn't mean no sense. When you're a lawyer,
you shouldn't have that in your personal life.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, Molly does, because you can see everything is about defense. Everything is about, I have my story. I have the reason why I think I'm right. And you can even see in the meeting she had with her counselor, it was like the counselor was trying to direct her into different paths by putting in different ways, but she still wasn't getting it. And it was, at least, you know, call her. And I was like, no, she needs to call me. And it was like, are we in a playground? What's going on? Like,
but do you not
think too highly of herself?
Exactly. Do you not think that in their relationship, Issa is the one that's grown? I loved the scene,
especially when
she was going to pick up the phone to call
her,
and she just saw Molly going, this is typical.
She knew
Issa,
what her reaction would be.
But she did it.
But no, it's not even that. Issa, the old Issa would have been like, hey girl, I need to tell you about Lawrence, literally skirting over this situation, although they did. But the new Issa was like, you know what, I'm not going to come at her like that. I'm just going to call her and say, can we talk, right? And I do think that Issa wanted to talk about the block party. I do think Issa wanted to be like, what happened? But because she was kind of feeding off Thingy's energy, it wasn't reciprocated, so she didn't do it. Now, they end up having some drama, well, not drama, they end up having some conversation over some fickle conversation at that brunch, and then Molly goes back to Andrew and tells her that it was fake. Like, I didn't, what did you think?
Misery
about
loves
that?
Company
for me,
she's miserable.
Let's just say Molly's cancelled for Paulina. That's that.
My thing is,
if Molly wanted to talk about it, why can't you just bring it up? You know how Issa is. Issa's awkward. Issa's tiptoeing around you. She's trying to make things. You know Issa was awkward. She'll make things about jokes. They're both sitting there looking at each other. Like, Molly, just bring it up if it's really affecting you.
Exactly.
You want to find
your
what it's
issue,
about.
Open your mouth.
So it was like, the dinner was nice. It was nice to see them, you know, laugh again, catch up, do whatever. But it was
fake.
Just so awkward.
I felt so awkward.
I was just like, someone just say something.
And then when they ended up going to Andrew's house and that text message, like, I'm not trying to be funny, but God, can you not see who you're texting?
What happened?
I think she was laughing.
She sent a text message. Molly sent the text message to Issa. It was meant to be for Andrew, but she was saying, see, I'm trying with her. So you know,
and for Issa, normally Issa would crack a joke, you know, and make it awkward. But you could tell she's just had enough, because she has tried. If you look at this episode, Issa really did try with Molly. Mm-hmm. She did. And
listen,
what pained me is what Molly said at the end. We are at different places, and you expect Issa to say something after that. when Issa says, all right, I'm going, you say, do you want to say anything more? What do you expect to say?
You see her face. Molly was
Molly hurt.
When her relationship with Andrew doesn't work, she'll come and meet Issa. Because exactly. So just leave her. Let her be her own downfall.
No, but that I know. You're I understand that. But that
she will come and meet Issa. She will come and meet Issa. Leave her.
And the thing is,
she's just such bad vibes. Can we change the subject with Molly?
And the annoying thing is, Issa will probably welcome her with open arms.
No,
that's the annoying thing. Issa would.
Because her
Issa
and Lawrence will be engaged. She's not going to care. She's like, I'm sorry, I got my man. Yes, I went back.
Do you want a story done? Listen, we want more seasons, so please.
Exactly. We need to now. Sorry for Paulina and everybody else, but we still have to talk about Molly because we have to talk about Molly's relationship with Andrew next. So we have to dissect this season.
To be very honest, I didn't really dissect the Molly and Andrew stuff. That much.
That whole
only
thing
because
is
I'm like,
but because she's
Andrew kind of teased her. Yeah,
Andrew's gonna be over it. He's gonna be done soon. Yep.
And Molly is self-destructive.
Even when she was like
her relationship with this man.
Yeah,
she's like, let's meet up with my brother.
Exactly. But you know, Molly didn't want to date him from the beginning because he wasn't a black man. He's Asian. She didn't want to date him. She's now bringing the race thing back into it. Like, okay, I get it.
But I get the beginning. Like, everyone has the idea of what they want when they first, what you think you want, and in her mind she knew she wanted to be with a black guy because of, you know, her background, her culture, that's what she's been grown up to want and think, so she's never really tested the water. So when he came along, he was like, let me tell you from the get-go that I might not be interested in you or whatever, but then she developed feelings for him, you know,
which is fine.
But she's, again, if you know that's not what you want, why are you pursuing it to then come and complain when you have it? It doesn't make sense.
I think she wants him.
No, but sometimes you don't know. Exactly. You try. She's given him a chance.
I think she wants him, but I think she just wants him. Now she's met his brother, and the brother's now opening up. Like, the brother's that guy, isn't it? That annoying person that's going to figure out things for you and say anything else that he wants to say in regards to just try and wind you up. And she's just taking it on... She's taking it to her chest all the time. And it's not always a way, you know, some things you have to take to your chest. Like last season, he was a bit rude. We all agreed on that. But I was trying to make it up. Yeah, he invited you to go to the football thing. Why didn't you not just think to yourself, hold on a minute, is that an olive branch? Is that a way of him coming to say, I'm sorry for what's happened, but no, you don't want to go. I don't want to be around your brother. When Andrew's trying to tell you, like, oh, you know, he want us to go, you're like with your face.
It's like my thing about it is like she's trying to say I get why she's annoyed, but as you said, maybe he's trying to apologize, and it's our duty sometimes to educate people. Maybe he doesn't get it from your point of view, so educate him. It doesn't always have to turn into an argument, or well, he doesn't believe, so it's fine. Like, educate him, go on the dinner, talk about the issue, talk about why you were hurt, and let him see that aspect. If he doesn't see, then cool, you know where each other stand, but that's his family. He's
because
always going to be around.
Who so she is, she's never going to see it from that perspective because she's who
she is. Right, but this is what's going to happen, which is what I believe
but
is going to happen.
She's a self-sabotage.
Andrew is going to say, you know what, girl, bye. And she's going to realize that what Issa was saying was right. Like literally, what her counselor was saying was right. Mm. She literally thinks that she's the only one on this earth and everything else.
Who's logical,
exactly.
Can I just say it?
Yeah.
I do want to try that game that we're playing though. I know the dinner date game.
But guess the height
remember?
Of someone.
Yeah,
I'm really good at these games.
I think it'll be actually fun.
That is just the reverse of who am I. But this time you're going to ask me how high is
how tall
Donald
is
Trump?
The
how tall is Donald Trump?
How tall is Donald Trump?
Nobody cares.
Cares
He doesn't even care about his hair and himself.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Oh, we think he cares about his hair. He possibly got transplants. So
the last couple, and I think we've done well. We've actually dissected this episode via the couples. Is Issa and Nathan.
I just could not stop looking at him. I was like, can you stop looking at me, please?
He
wasn't talking to me at all.
To me,
it's
the way he talks so gently. He looks at you and then bites his lip.
When I find someone attractive, I can't give eye contact. I don't know how she's talking to him.
I don't know. Like I saw him in How to Get Away with Murder, and I was just like, you are just...
Yeah, but in that High Skirt Murder, he was incestual. I wasn't really feeling that.
Okay, forget the incestual. Forget that bit. I was just looking at his face. I think I forgot the whole story, like, but I was just looking at his face.
When he was talking, I was just like, oh my God, how has she got such good choices with these men? Where are these men? Where are they?
Did you think that he invited her around to have sex?
And every time,
he wanted to make a move. He wanted to make a move.
Yeah, it's so every time he went near her, Issa would pull back.
And it's the slow motion. He walks over and I'm like, ooh. Okay, let me.
But I feel like some a friend made a point actually. She thinks that the chemistry between Lauren and Issa is better than Nathan and Issa.
Of course, there's history
Nathan
there.
And Issa, yeah, there's history there, and Nathan and Issa are just like F buddies, really. They F buddies.
No, they were going somewhere.
She actually liked him.
I get it, but their relationship started off pretty much as F buddies, and then they grew to be
together. Then he disappeared.
And then we find out that he had bipolar. Which I really, really, really appreciate that, you know, in this season. And what I really like about Insecure in general is that they do highlight a lot of issues,
that are real. A lot of
black men do suffer from mental health. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to talk about it. They run away, which is probably what Nathan did. Mm-hmm. Now he's come back and he's acknowledged the fact that, you know what, he has got a mental health issue, and it was brought to the forefront, and I really did appreciate that.
Yeah, same.
What I did like about this scene as well, as you said about the mental health, is I know it was a bit catty of Nate, but it was just the way he just went when she said, me and Lawrence are kind of, you know, seeing each other again. I thought you were over that shit. I was like, ooh.
No, wasn't he saying that? Oh,
he's
what,
really
that
in his feelings.
Didn't he have a job? Really,
yeah, so it was like he kind of showed that snippet of jealousy, like, yeah, I want you, you know.
Why does that's he what want I Issa to work in the shop for? I'm a bit confused. I must have missed something.
He wants to see her on a daily
basis. He's just trying to create.
What does she need the shop
a
for?
Job.
Is that her office?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's space. It's a space. It's an office space, event space, because, you know, she does all of that. So she could help. But he just wants to be near her. And as you said, the mental health thing was very important, because as you said, it can be a stigma in the black community. And I just like the way Issa, how she approached it with him, like, oh, sorry, thanks for sharing, you know. And he was like, yeah, it is, because there's not much she could say if she doesn't fully understand it. That's the thing. Bipolar is not something a lot of people a lot of people, especially in the black community, understand. So it's at least she's said it in not many words. She's there for him in a way.
Yeah.
But obviously, if she does choose Lawrence, how is that going to affect their relationship in terms of Nathan? Can she actually even still be friends with him? Because he clearly has feelings, and he's bipolar. So it's a lot of things in place, if that makes sense. So it might be
quite hard. But she's told both of them about each other. And she's told Nathan that she is seeing Lawrence again. So I feel like Nathan would respect that fact. He won't try and pursue her if she's openly said, I'm seeing my ex. Because you won't say that if you're not, no, but if you're not serious about either of them, you're not saying anything. You're just doing what you want to do. But she's told both of them about each other.
Yeah. Sorry, not about, I said from the review, from the preview of next week, it doesn't seem like he's going to, he's respecting that.
Sometimes previews can be misleading. So
exactly.
The man said, not to spoil, but the man, okay, let me just leave it there before I spoil for people.
Speaking about endings and season finale, Paulina, I want you to predict the ending of
I actually don't know, but I feel like Molly is gonna get dumped.
You've got 5 seconds. Go, girl.
Molly's gonna get dumped. She's gonna be coming back to Issa, but Issa's gonna be moving to San Fran, Chicago, wherever she thinks is going with. What's his name? Excuse me, I haven't finished.
I'm giving you a clock down.
What's his name? Where's he going? San Diego. Why am I not getting right?
San Francisco.
It's very similar. I get confused. Thank you. But I feel like, yeah, that's what she's gonna look. Molly's gonna get locked up by Andrew. She's gonna come back to Issa, be like, hey, and he's gonna be like, sorry, I'm moving to San Diego, San Francisco.
Go back. That ended.
That's my ending.
Sharifa.
Stress.
I think Issa's going to choose Lawrence, as Paulina said, move to San Francisco. but I don't know if they will last. I want them to last, but I don't think they'll last. Her and Molly are going to be back to being friends again, single, and like, yeah, here we go.
Thank you for that, Sharifa. And Tess, what do you think?
I thought that she was going to get back with Lawrence, but I kind of think that she's going to put herself in a situation, especially in the shop. And I think that she's probably going to take time out for herself to realize what she wants.
No.
And I do not think we have seen condolences to Condola. I don't think we're saying condolences to Condola. I think she's going to pop up.
You guys are going to pop up. But Issa's been living the single life for a while.
That'll be a good
So she's done.
Well, she hasn't really been living the single life because she was sleeping with the TSA guy.
But she was sleeping with anyone.
She was sleeping with quite a few people.
Yeah. Okay. So that is single life. Loose. I get it. But she hasn't been on her own. She hasn't taken her time out. Like, once she did the block party.
She's not that type of person, though.
She gets bored. You can see even after the block party, what happens? She's sitting there going, do-do-do-do. She gets ditched. There's so much that happens when she's not that type.
Anywho, we have got to next week. Let's put a wager on this. I don't know what it will be. We can do it offline. But whatever we decide, you guys, one of us have to do it. Next on our list is Blood and Water. It's on Netflix. It was mini series, should I say, season two is coming out soon. It's based in South Africa. It stars a girl called Amma Kwamata, who plays Poleng. It also stars a lovely lady called Kizozi Ningema, and she plays Fick, and the delectable young boy, I'm not sure I should even say this, but he's called Sambang Molabala, and he played KB. I do apologize if I haven't pronounced their names correctly, but yeah, those are the main actors in the show. The whole thing is about a girl trying to find her sister who was adopted by birth. And it's just her plight of putting things together. What did you guys think about the show?
I really liked it. I thought it was quite good. Towards the end, I was like, oh, come on. We get it. Just let her know. So I feel like they'll leave me hanging too long. That I was just like, ugh. But I actually really liked the storyline. And it's quite cute, I guess.
Yeah. It's quite cute.
Yeah.
Beginning, it's because I had high hopes for it. As I've said before, I do like watching things from different countries. And it's the second South African original, Netflix original show. The first one was Queen Sono. I don't know if anyone has watched it, but that's a good one as well. Yeah. So I had high hopes for it because I liked Queen Sono. Beginning didn't really grip me. I was just like, all right, what's going to happen? Where's it going? But by the end of it, I did like it. But I think I was like Pauline. I was just like, just tell her already.
Literally.
Like, just tell her. Maybe she'll help you investigate it because she seems like a rich rich bored girl anyway. So just tell her.
Rich what girl? Rich
bored. Bored.
Okay, like, so she's bored, just bored. In-house bored.
Okay. So I just thought she'll just tell her and, you know. Kind of bond sisters, you know.
They even looked alike, which is why I thought that would be one question.
From the beginning, I was just like, yeah, that's going to be a sister. I think it was a bit predictable as well. That's for me. That was the thing. It was just a lot of bits were predictable.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I like Poling's acting. I'm not too
Poling,
sure.
I didn't like her sister. I didn't like
Fikile at all. Let's be honest,
the acting in general was a bit whack, and the American accents in South Africa was a bit confusing.
But it happens, though.
It does.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
Does it? Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some of them do have quite strong.
I
liked about when I first watched it, I was like, "Oh, this is about high school and high school drama or whatever." And I thought, "What a nonsense is this?" But then the more you watch it, the more you get into the different links and how people are associated with one another in terms of like Peleng's dad working for the company that is supposedly meant to have abducted her. Her sister. And then the her boyfriend, the guy that she supposedly really likes, his dad is actually representing the company and all the rest of it. One thing I do actually like is that although it's South African, it featured all types of South Africans. So you had the South African blacks, you had the whites, you had the Afghans.
And they were Afrikaans, all together.
And it was just nice to see that, you know, as much as it was an African product, it was a South African production, rather than it just being fully South African blacks. It was all around a South African production.
The thing that I didn't really appreciate was that they never really finished a storyline. So like, for example, she was in the school, and then she automatically got into the new school to get closer to her sister. Like, there was no links to how that happened. It wasn't like clear links. It was like, okay, her dad got arrested, now she's in a new school.
That's, I think they were trying to, they didn't want to do too much.
She got into a fight, and then she was late for her school meeting to see whether she would get admitted into the school. The school was like, your behavior is unacceptable. The dad got arrested, so for her it was like, that was a great way of saying, you know what, the school's going to suspend me, so let me leave. And then obviously
you know how like some shows like show that process. For me, I would have liked it if they showed that.
I think it would have been long, because there were bits in it that I felt like could have been cut out, so I feel like it would be a bit long. But two things I did like was that, as you said, there were different types of South Africans in there. I do like that they touched very loosely. I don't think it was that big, but they touched very loosely on South African politics and the racial stuff through Wendy.
Yes, I forgot.
One of the actors. Yeah, she really was the vocal point of bring this back. We have to talk about this protest, that. Because she was a sponsor. She's a sponsorship. She was on a sponsorship. It's not like she was there as a rich kid, like a lot of them. So I like that she kept kind of inputting it in, even though her methods weren't always right.
She was annoying.
She was just the annoying high school girls that just keep going on. But I just appreciate the message that she was trying to, convey there. The other thing I didn't like was her friend. Her friend Pauline's friend. She didn't want to speak to her because she had left the school, and she didn't even call her friend to check up on her to say, why, you know, I heard your dad's been arrested. Yeah, she was just so concerned about.
That was a filler for me. I felt that was a filler because they needed a reason for Pauline to get exposed. No, because you remember she was the reason why her name. She changed her surname to get to school. So I kind of, when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh yeah, you just did that because you needed a reason for her to expose her friend in that way. Not intentional, not in a bad mind, a malicious way. But how else would they have known?
They would have done it so many ways, because even before that guy knew about it, the guy that actually got her into the school that fancied her already knew who she was. So, you know, it's not really that hard.
When he caught her,
he goes, it wasn't that hard to Google who you are. He said it. One of the episodes, he actually said it to her, it wasn't that hard to Google who you are.
Definitely missed it.
I missed
that. That bit was a bit.
Are we watching season two? Season two, for me,
I think I will. On a cliffhanger.
I just want to know.
Season two is literally the two of them trying to read the
pieces of the puzzle. I just want to see everyone get exposed. The mum was sweating when she found out. Fikile's mum. Sweating when she found out.
Ooh, so you're forgetting the storyline between her swimming coach. He is tasty.
Really?
Coach.
Well, he's guys, just an opportunist.
Did you think he was attractive?
I didn't think it was attractive, and I didn't appreciate that storyline at all. I was just like,
why? Well,
to be honest, I appreciate in the sense that it highlights what can go on in schools.
Yeah, but it was a bit misplaced. It had no need to be in there.
It didn't.
But then it could show part of her history. Like, they could probably delve into that season two. Who knows? It didn't. Yeah, you're right. It didn't need to be there, but it was just.
It didn't really.
I guess it's
to
a
the
filler,
drama.
Isn't it? It's
I think there was like, quite a few fillers.
That's what I mean. Like, it was all like mismatched. It was just.
Okay, nice
storyline, and now we're just putting it together, but we haven't actually figured it out.
I don't think it was mismatched. I think it was there because she's a rich girl that's bored. She's a rich girl that can get what she wants, and she was able to manage to get this teacher who's older than her to sleep with her, and it was just another thing that she could do. It just kind of highlighted the fact that she's rich, and I'm rich, power. I get what I want, and she thinks she's got some sort of power. So, yeah.
If you think about it, the storyline is very... then there's not much they could do with it because they're in high school. If it was like something else, if it was like adults, you know there could have been more. This can only be fillers. You can only add fillers, if that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's not much to it.
Children realistically need permission to do a lot of things.
It's not like they can go MI6
and start
hunting
them down. But they were all going clubbing,
drinking. Because they're all rich kids, isn't it?
Oh, that's what they do.
Apart from Pauline, this is the life, isn't it? My parents are never really around, so I get to do what I want. I've got their credit cards. I've got my own money. So, yeah, let's go drinking. Let's do this.
I mean, I guess.
We're not sure whether that's what all rich kids do, but that's what it's been portrayed on TV. So
This is the disclaimer if you're a rich kid listening and you don't really do that. Anyway, I guess we'll have to wait for season 2 to come out on Netflix to see how it ends.
You know what I'm upset about though? With Corona, all my seasons that I'm going to have to now wait because of Corona. What, 2021 before I know what's happening in Ozark season 4? Are you joking?
Okay, the new inventive stress. Ways, you never know.
They better just get it together because I need to watch it.
BBC have been putting out some great TV recently, in my opinion. Was it Monday night? They put out a show called Sitting in Limbo, which is based on the true story of a gentleman called Anthony Bryan, who worked in Britain for over 50 years. I believe he was born here as well, but don't quote me on that. And he was suddenly detained and almost got deported.
He was born in Jamaica. He was born in Jamaica. He came here when he was 8.
He was 8. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks, girls, for that. So he was born in Jamaica, worked here over 50 years. He was suddenly detained and almost got deported. So Sitting in Limbo was a short film that was produced by his brother into the history of his into the history of his life in regards to him being detained and deported. It's based on the Windrush generation because he came here with his mum and
on her passport
and it stars Patrick Robinson. He is the guy that was in The Bill and Casualty, if you don't know who he is. And BAFTA nominee Nadine Marshall, she was an amazing actress in the Sky Atlantic drama called Save Me.
Yeah.
And she also has the best leading actress role for her role in Random. Mm. So what do we think about it? It was deep.
I liked it in the sense that it did inform me of things I didn't actually 100% know of. It made me go back and actually research. And in the time that we're in, this is the type of shows that we need to see, to educate the younger generation and educate just even us so we know what actually happened. This did not happen many years ago, 10-15 years ago. This is something that happened quite recently. So it's something
that 2018 interject you, but the Windrush scandal was 2018, where people were wrongly detained and denied legal rights by the Home Office. What transpired was in 2010, apparently the Home Office then discarded all landing cards. After these people were brought from the Caribbean to work the UK, they built up after the war, and then 2010 they decided to
when I watched it and when I researched it, what just really hurt me, even though I'm not directly linked to it, you know, it still affected me in the sense that someone's lived here for that long. In their mind, they're British. Like, going back to Jamaica is foreign for someone like Anthony. So for him, this is his home. You know, this is something he's built for his children. And to be told that you don't belong and have to beg to say you belong and prove evidence that you may not even have, it's painful. It takes away from the man's ego. Like, you could see his pride had been hurt in front of his kids. He didn't want to accept money.
His alleged kids. Can you imagine his alleged kids?
I did not appreciate how they like just barged into his house and arrested him like he's a criminal. Like he's doing something wrong.
That still goes on today. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys saw
Rich
the clips.
Too.
Dad. Like, really?
Tasered. I was just like,
have they actually clarified what they were doing?
We can touch on that a little bit later. But back to Sitting in Limbo, it was heart-wrenching because he was, you know, anyone that was going through that was denied healthcare, was denied the right to work. So can you imagine if you had serious problems?
Like living in a country with your parents and then they're like, all right, you got to go. And there's nothing else you can do. And they can never come back here. I could not imagine what I would do in that scenario.
And they gave him his passport back. But after all that fighting, and that
thing, would you even want it?
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
3 years of sitting in limbo, literally, not knowing if they're going to drag you in the middle of the night. So in this situation, it must be so terrifying because you just don't know when you're not going to see your family for a period of time. You know, he was every time he was detained, look, he had anxiety afterwards. He was having
they detain you and they take you far to Dover.
Like, really? He was taken 166 miles. It was the first time.
And he was taken in like a prison cell van. Like, he's a criminal. Yeah. What has he done that deserves all of that treatment?
It's crazy. Yeah. And then the second time it was at Oxford.
But then you want to go and steal people from their country to come and be slaves in your country. And then you want I'm over it.
Oxford Airport. Imagine the anxiety of him. He probably couldn't sleep. He's hearing planes. He's hearing people screaming. Everything. You would think your time is going next. And I know people saying, "Oh, it's just." Some people may say, "Oh, but you know, he's going back home, whatnot." It's still anxiety. His life has been based here. Jamaica is not. He's not familiar with. You know, they're saying that. Oh, we'll give you £1,000 when you get there. What's that going to do for him? You know.
I'm glad they showed it. I think. It was a great show to highlight what went wrong. I like the fact that they, you know, they showed the true clips from Theresa May's speech there as well. So, you know, as much as the government, the facts in it, as much as the government admitted, but there's not enough. There are still so many people out there that need their compensation, need to, you know, that have been sent back wrongly. So a lot more needs to be done on this, I think. Yep.
Yeah.
On a lighter note of this movie, I loved seeing Anthony and Janet's relationship and the interaction and the jokes they had. It was like a true, it was just like nice to see. They've been together all this time and it's just, they still had that youthful jokes and laugh, and you could see the way he looked at her. It was nice to actually see that and them to talk about it. And when she jokes, they were portrayed positively. Even though she joked about, well, if you had married me, we won't be going through this now, would we? Which is true. But I like that. I like that bit.
It was nice. And it's quite timely as well, because we're considering that we're going through everything in regards to Black Lives Matter and racial discrimination. So it highlights a lot of things. Also this week on BBC One, and it was partnering with HBO, I think. We watched another great, which I think is great so far, show called I May Destroy You. It was on Monday and Tuesday this week. It was written and directed by BAFTA winner and formidable Michaela Coley. I love this girl so much.
I call her the Issa Rae of England.
I love her. She is an actress, a writer, director, everything. She did Chewing Gum on Channel 4, if you haven't seen that. She did Black Earth Rising, and she's done some other stuff. It also stars Papa Esiedu from Gangs of London. He played the black son. Andrew? I kind of feel like his name was Andrew, but his name's not Andrew.
No, Kwame.
Gangs of London.
And also, wasn't he in Humans? I feel like I saw him in Humans.
Yeah, he was in Humans.
He kind of looks like his character in Humans.
Yeah, he does. That's all I see when I see him.
It's also got Emil Amin. He's from Yardie, the butler, Kid Adulthood. And it's got this lady, I've never seen her before, but she's called Ruchi Opia. Guys, I just have love for Michaela. I like everything she does is gold.
She's just proper creative.
Amazing. This show is literally, if you haven't seen it yet, it's about an awkward, wayward writer who goes out on the town with her friends when she should be finishing a project, and something happens to her. We do not know what, but then she has flashbacks, so she's trying to put the pieces to the puzzle. It kind of is insinuated when she goes to the police that she could have potentially been sexually assaulted, but we are yet to find out. Michaela in this show for me acts like a serious version, and this is gonna sound so weird, a serious version of her character in Chewing Gum. That awkwardness, that forgetfulness, that, you know, stumbling, I'm gonna do everywhere. This, stumbling everywhere, but I'm gonna do this and do it well, but make mistakes. She's just great. Her whole energy, the awkwardness she was portrayed well, her friends, her interaction with her friends, even how she's chatting to the publishers about her book. I just kind of, you know, I was busting up when she was
doing
the
blank stare.
Excuse me. And then so I was busting up. I was like, no, I couldn't even watch. I was just like, this is just so awkward.
Right, so yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I cannot wait for next week to see more of it. I don't know what to say. I just love this girl.
Yeah,
I did enjoy it, but I feel like I don't have much to say yet because it's not finished. So I don't know. I can't talk too much on it yet.
Yeah, I did like it as well. There were some moments that I was just like, like the threesome scene, all of that. I was just like, okay, this is weird.
Remind me, what threesome scene?
Did I miss a threesome scene?
Yeah, there wasn't a threesome scene, but Simon's girlfriend wanted to have a threesome.
She wants a lesbian experience.
She wants a lesbian experience, and he was looking at a picture, and she was like, oh, that's doing? Pretty. That's pretty. Okay, let's go meet her. Let's go meet her. But obviously, it was all a setup. If you've watched it, I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't really watched it. But I thought, yeah, that was a setup. Well, it was a setup, sorry.
I thought they were actually looking for someone.
Yeah, me too.
To drug and do whatever they want with. That's the perception I got from it. Is that just
No. No, she actually said, she goes, oh, she's cute. Well, what do you think she'd be like? And he was like, I'm not really interested in it. You keep wanting this. And
yeah, but why did he initially ask, I forgot her name. Sorry, the main, Michaela's character. Why did he ask
Arabella?
Her?
Arabella.
Yeah, and then she said no. And then
for a threesome.
Was he asking her for a threesome?
Yeah, that's what he was asking her for. They were talking about a threesome experience with his girlfriend,
right?
After he had spoken to Michaela, and the girlfriend asked, "What did she say?" And she goes,
"This
no,
is what I was a bit confused on." So just a bit like,
so no, okay. He just invited Arabella out. He wasn't going to tell Arabella what he was for. He was just like, right. "Come out," because she was in the studio, and then she said, "No, she's got to write." And then after he put the phone down, then he was saying, "Oh, Arabella."
So have they had a threesome before then? That's what I was.
No, I don't think they have. I think she wants the experience, but I think he knows much more than he's explaining about what happened. I think he's so involved, and it was so.
He's involved for sure.
Yeah.
What I like is that I thought personally when I was watching it and she was having the flashbacks, I thought the way she was acting awkward, I thought she wasn't going to ask the questions that needed to be asked. But I love the way she kept pushing him in front of him. Let me see your Uber receipts. I was just like, yes, come on. Piece it together. Like, come on. And I think she's going to get more and more serious as it goes, as the episodes go along, that she's going to be like, look, I need to know what's happened to me. I'm not going to let it go. Like, you guys may think I'm not unserious, but I'm going to find out what's happened and I may destroy you.
Said so. About her pushing to find out what... Because normally... In cases to do with people that have been abused, because they're not sure, they don't talk about it. They try and forget it. But I did appreciate, like you said, that she was pushing him to find out and wanting to know, which was putting him on edge because he was starting all over the place, not sure what to say, which made then his girlfriend was questioning him as well, which is what I liked, rather than it being another storyline of them not talking about the issue.
But did you see her friend Terry? Terry's the girl that went for the audition. Towards the end, I think what happened to Michaela has happened to her. She was aware of it happening. Even beforehand, she's like, you're going out with Simon. Why? Those kind of things.
Think with her with Simon?
I think she knows. I think not Simon, maybe something.
She did say she's had a threesome before.
Yes.
So I just feel like something has happened because her being upset about an interview was just a bit misplaced. I was like, why is she crying? Like, why is she like, it's your friend's lying there. No, she that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. It's misplaced. It's misplaced because she was crying. She was saying, and the guy Kwame said, was it that bad? She goes, yeah. But I feel she was crying for something else, not just about that. I do like that in a lot of movies and series, sexual assault is always a side story. It's always something that happened to a character to get to where they are. I like that this is mainly about sexual assault, so it brings awareness to the fact that it can happen very casually and you may not be aware of it, but just know that people are around you to help you. So I like that that is slowly becoming the vocal point of this whole series.
Going off that point though, the woman, the lady, I'm bad with names, my memory's rubbish, but the lady, the character with the bald head,
it was Alyssa.
So I didn't like that she knew she'd been drugged and then she was victim blaming and defending what Simon's done because she knows what he's done, but she's just not talking about it. I think that's also another thing that happens to people as well. So I like that she's touching on all areas and all aspects rather than just a one point.
I'm looking forward to next week.
So. Her breakdown got me though, because obviously we're so used to her being the awkward in the first two episodes. I know it's just been half an hour each, but we've become accustomed to her just, you know, being the awkward. You know, just saying don't call it that. I didn't say it was that. Don't call it that. Don't call it that. And then she breaks down, and I appreciate her showing that vulnerable. Yeah, so it's her showing that look. As much as you may be confident in the fact that you think it didn't happen. Like, admit it to yourself in one way or the other is very important. So I like that she's, you know, she's as you said, she's covered she's covering all bases. And this is just two episodes.
Yeah, so it's good. It's gripping. It grips you from the beginning. So that's Michaela for you. I don't know. Everything I've watched about her, that's what it just grips.
We want to touch on the negative reviews. I know I've had this discussion with these ladies about it before, and it will lead into, you know, some of the discussions we're going to have in our current affairs. And one of the reviews that stood out to me was someone complaining about being flooded with shows about Black people created by Black people.
Name his
to
name.
Make things more equal. His name is Adolf Sniffler on IMDb.
Shock.
I didn't even know even what to say, because I was like, for how long have the film and TV industry made productions, some of them clearly for a Black cast, and they've used white people. Prince of Egypt. It's supposed to be by Egyptians, but most of the cast were...
They got the English accent, 300 in Rome, wherever we are.
This is what I mean. So what is so wrong about us doing something for us? For us?
Why,
like,
why are you watching it as well? If you're so racist, why are you watching it?
Yeah, don't watch it. So it was a bit... It took me aback.
But these type of people want that reaction. So I also just don't feed into it. That's someone, a keyboard warrior.
Keep being great.
He's a keyboard warrior with his racist self.
Keyboard warrior.
Just leave these people. Do not even us talking about him, giving them a small platform to talk about it. No, okay. Leave him in the
no.
I like the fact that we spoke about I May Destroy You, because it ties into nicely to what we're going to talk about in regards to what's going on in the world today. I very briefly, because it was quite distressing for me, saw on the news and other platforms about two girls, especially in Nigeria, that were actually raped, and I think. Did one get murdered or so? I'm not sure. One got murdered by the police, right? And the other one was severely beaten up. And so, and I just think, you know, certain countries just don't take those claims seriously. So these girls are in Nigeria. Sharifa, you delved into this a bit more, didn't you? So do you want to touch on it?
Yeah. So the hashtag on Twitter is hashtag we are tired. And this is based on the gender-based violence in Nigeria and West Africa in general. This is not something new that's been happening. It's been happening for a while in Nigeria. It's just the women feel stigmatized when they do say something, or they're in fear of what would happen. You know, people that have reported, women that have been detained by police officers, killed in police custody, or raped in police custody, you know, so it's something that the women need to be educated on, and the men need the boys that will grow into men need to be educated on this. So I've been trying to follow it as much as possible with everything going on. But
so what was it? It was one girl that was literally raped by a couple. When I say couple, it was more than two
men,
right?
In the church,
in a church, which
can you imagine?
And beaten up, and you're in church. And she was young as well. And then another girl. Was that a bus stop or something? And she was shot by police? I don't even know what the reasons were.
Those are two stories in a long line of horrific. And you will find that when you do look at numbers, a lot of women in Nigeria between the ages of 18 to 24, about 24.8% of them have been sexually assaulted. 5% of them will ask for help, and 3.5% of them will get some service. And this is in Nigeria. I don't know how much service they'll get, you know. So it's, you've now got a foundation called Women at Risk International Foundation that are trying to help all these women, but you know, the awareness is not there within Nigeria and around the world. So have a look at the hashtag, see how you can help. There's donations, the support, you know, just sharing and just making the awareness more widespread, I'd say. So yeah,
it's crazy. And guys, if you know somebody that has been suffering through some sort of abuse, whether it be rape or any other thing, please let them seek help. It's important that people do not go into themselves or do not talk, because that leads to other problems. So it's important that they do seek help and everything else,
and when you
that's available to them.
Yeah, when you do try to get them help, let them get help when they're ready. That's the most important thing. You wouldn't want them to go into their shell if they're forced into getting help, especially in Nigeria. As I said, there is a heavy stigma. So if they are getting that help, let them get the right help in Nigeria. Check out the foundation I've mentioned if you do know someone in Nigeria, and they'll be able to help you get them the help they need.
Yeah. Back to the UK. Recently, we've been seeing pulling down of some beloved statues. So it started off with a statue in Bristol, where we had some anti-racism campaigners just chucking down, I can't remember the man's name, I don't even want to say it because I can't be
Edward Carlston.
Edward Carlston, that's it. Where they literally dismantled it and then chucked it into the sea. But then there were the pictures of these men that are trying to save it. So it kicked off with Edward Carlston. Then we saw in Belgium, in the city of Antwerp, that the King Leonard II, if you don't know about him, research, he killed about 15 million Africans. His statue was defaced, so the government or the council, whoever, the city, decided to take that down. And then in Canary Wharf this week, Robert Mulligan, they decided to take the Robert Mulligan, they decided, this is what's getting me, the councils and the mayor or whoever are now deciding to take down these statues.
Yeah, just take them down to put in a museum somewhere.
They needed to be taken down a long time ago.
They do. But why are we taking them down? Where are we, taxpayers going to pay for storage? Because I don't want to go to a museum to see it. And I don't want anyone to say it's my history, because I don't want to know about a slave trader. There are
but that's
so
the
many
thing, we weren't taught those histories, though. That's a bit I was going to touch on. In school, some of these statues displaced around our Great Britain, we were told different things. And obviously, this is why, okay, the BML is happening, people are researching, because there's a lot of things I will put on my hand and say I didn't know, and I'm trying to know, you know. And a lot of these people, we weren't told about some of these stuff, and now we are seeing it. And for me, those statues shouldn't have been up. Generally, they shouldn't have been. Like, at the moment, just to name a few, we've got Francis Drake, who's England's first slave trader. Please tell me why his statue's still up in Devon.
Listen, this
they're now petition for it to be down, but I'm like,
to white people, this is Great Britain.
To some white England, people, some white people, people,
sorry. Yeah. To some white people, this is their country. So that is part of their history. They were able to own slaves. So they are going to commemorate or celebrate the fact that they had a slave trader. So that's their history. So they are proud, as bad as it is, to claim that. Was it Tommy Robinson who was there almost crying because they're like, Churchill, you want to say it's about race? And then he contradicts himself and like, you wait when I bring all my people down on Saturday. Who's going to be there on Saturday? I don't know. But he's saying it. So for those people, Nigel Farage and them lot, that's hurting their souls.
That's what I was going to
It's part of their history.
Touch on Nigel Farage, because he's excused. I don't know if you guys caught him on Britain. Yeah. And he's reasoning, well,
he's
some
idiot.
Part of his reasoning, one sentence I caught was, well, Corsten, he gave so much to... He was a philanthropist, and I was like,
everyone was like, how dare you say that?
You think because so the end justifies the means, like.
Did he compare him to a Buddhist who was like, please?
How I think I literally when I hear his voice, I block almost everything out for some reason.
Just look at him and know he's racist.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, for some reason I decided to actually listen, and I just thought, you know what?
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I did have an interesting conversation with somebody that said, as much as they're slave traders and as much as they're dotted around the country, half of us wouldn't have even known who they were if we were walking around Trafalgar Square or wherever they're placed around in London or in the UK. So why do we care if they're up or not? Because we walk past them and
but that's
we
because
see them.
We didn't know T. We now no, are educating
no, I,
ourselves.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I had this conversation with someone and that was what they were saying. Like, you know, should we really be focusing our energy on these statues? Because regardless of the matter, we
are distracting.
We care about the future. Yes. We care about
but exactly
the
that's
future.
Exactly the point that
I
the person
want my
I was speaking
to
made.
It's a distraction.
But did you hear what Paulina said? That is a distraction
maybe,
to
yeah.
the main cause. And
all of a sudden, now they found Madeleine McCann's, you know, abductor 13 years later. In the middle
of
a pandemic.
Laughing.
Wow.
I was laughing about that. But when I saw the news, I went, oh.
Because it's a deflection. It's a distraction. They are trying to distract from the movement, because they weren't trying to have a movement, an awakening in a pandemic. They were trying to keep everyone at home and keep quiet.
But they would not happen to George. They would not distract people.
Look what has happened. That's what
they
I'm saying.
They will not distract.
They're using the statues. They're using everything else that is happening. They're using the Madeleine McCann to take the focus off of what is actually happening.
Keep pushing people, because a lot has been done in the last couple of days. In 10
Can
days,
I just say
lots
as well?
Of things have been done, and whether that is because it's been done in America, protests, UK protests, we're all coming together, and people are taking
Boris
wrong.
To say the thuggery.
I'm going to mention
the thuggery that is going on. Ooh,
calm down, Boris.
Literally, Donald Trump's bumhole. I'm so over it. I'm just done. But do you know what topped me off this week? We do house renovations, and I went to a hardware store, and I had to cut some clothing in half to fit into my car. And because I'd come out the exit way, I couldn't go all the way back around. So I knocked on the exit, so the man on the inside, the customer on the inside, could open the door and I could put the saw back. So I tapped at the window and he turned around. I thought it was a riot. It's happening all over again. See, it's just another example of why we're doing this in the first place, because people are so unaware of their blatant racism. Mm. They just can't help themselves. So I'm
but
hoping
some people.
This is all going to happen so our children can just live in peace.
Mm, yeah,
I believe that. I think it needs this. This is important. What's happening is important. I would admit, in the last couple of days, I have taken a seat back in terms
I'm done.
You know,
I can't do it anymore.
In terms of a lot, because there's a lot out there, guys. There's a lot out there.
I woke up feeling like I had climbed Kilimanjaro with my children on my back. I was achy. I was drained.
Do some yoga and watch more Netflix. You would
honestly.
That's what I'm saying. Look after your mental health. Take a break. It's very important. As you know, we are stronger when your mind is sound. So just take a break when you need to. And
if you can, another good thing out of this is that Netflix streaming of certain shows, like When We See Us, when They See Us and American Son have been going up in the past. Their streaming ratings have gone up. Mm-hmm. I think it could be a case of white people that want to educate themselves and are looking into it and seeing the racial injustices that have been going on. Or it could just be us fellow people revving ourselves up for more anger, or people, or the black people that just they don't really care about us.
Honestly,
but it could also be people just literally watching to try and understand the injustices that have been going on.
I don't know if you guys actually knew that Netflix release a new batch of iconic black films and they stream it for 30 days.
No, so, I didn't. Do you know what it is?
I didn't get
certain recommendations, because I guess it's focused around what you watch. So I need to know about that. What is also good, and I appreciate, so don't judge me, but I watched a show called Vanderpump Rules, and it's just very, don't judge me, okay?
Oh,
it's trash, but it's, you know, anyway. But what I appreciate is everybody has been called out on their past racism. So four people from that show have been fired because of their past racism. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate what this movement is doing. You still have the ignorant ignoramuses that are saying that, I don't know. I'm just
I touch on what Paulina is saying? It is good that that's happening as well. And it's good that other videos are coming out for justice for people. There's quite a lot of people that haven't had their stories told. And as Paulina said, it really has done that. So, yeah, I'm glad of that.
We can have like a music bit there.
So if you haven't watched those shows, I suggest you go and watch them. They're both streaming on Netflix at the moment. That's American Son and When They See Us. On a lighter note before we go, YouTube did a virtual commencement event for the class of 2020. So congratulations anyone in the States that has graduated from high school, university, and similarly here, but no one has done so yet because I think our school periods are different. But with that, they did a live streaming. Mr. and Mrs. Barack and Michelle Obama had made a little speech. Chloe and Haley did a little performance. Some other gap bands did a performance. Megan Thee Stallion did her little performance. And my mama, my second mama, Beyonce, I know. Miss Carter came out and spoke to the class of 2020. And I think this was streaming all over the social medias and the internet as well. And she literally just was, in my opinion, unapologetically black. She told, she spoke to the black students. She told them to go get yours, walk into that room, demand a seat at the table. If you do not have a seat at the table, you can create your own. She spoke about George Floyd being murdered, Breonna Taylor, very briefly, but she made it clear that we cannot stand for this. She spoke about, she spoke openly, which I loved, about ownership. She literally said, if they're not going to offer you something, you need to try and see what you can own. You know, you need to see what you can do and own it yourself. That's why she owns her master's. That's why she's got her own record company. That's why she's got her own management company. You know, she did that so that she can put people that are less fortunate in, that less fortunate and that have been discriminated against in the workplace, at her table. I loved it. I loved, like, you know, she literally said that we're beautiful beasts, so we can go out there and do what we need to do, and the secret of success is putting in the work. I mean, she says a lot of things that we already know, but I think for the young generation out there, it's good to hear it from people that they follow. It's good to hear it from people that they love. It's good that she came out and she spoke unapologetically black about what black people can do to make it into today's society. So what did you think, Sharifa?
Basically the example of success.
Amen. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah, on. I liked it. I liked it was a bit long, 10 minutes. But those good
messages. She's like, hey, Miss Carter.
The thing about the busy bees, don't shoot me down, please. But the thing about Beyonce,
busy bees.
They're busy bees. Queen bee,
they're one of them is sitting right here.
I love Beyonce. I feel like her.
I know what you're gonna say.
But
Shifa,
my only thing is, when she talks,
she's very performative.
Like she's too performative.
It's
like she's acting. I know it's real. The thing is, I know she means it. I know she means it. Like she would
is.
But who is the way she
she's holding it down, because the real they would have been like, yeah, should have been like,
she couldn't do that because she's not portraying it.
It's just too acted.
She has to kind of be like that so she can get her message across to
I get it, but I do like that she touched on a lot of the things people have talked about her in the past, like the whole you've been called dumb, you've been called this, you've been called that, because I've been called that and I'm here. Like, I like, it was very inspiring. Like, I watched it after what? I watched it.
She's been called fat, she's kind of ugly, she's called dumb.
A lot of people have been called all sort of things because she's been called that. And what I liked about it, when I finished watching, I was just like, yeah, power, I've got it. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It was very inspirational and it amplified the current Black Lives Matter movement. And it was just encouraging and motivating, and it's what the youth need to see. And this is a typical example of a role model using their platform when there's a movement happening, not to just talk about all the negative sides of it, but to actually just say, look, this is happening. Yes, it's happening. You know, do what you have to do, but just realize after all of this, you still can make that, you can make your own seat at the table. As she said, she chopped her own tree down and made her own seat and invited people that are overlooked to that table. She's creating her own table. You don't have to always think I have to be at that table because everyone's at that table, or that's the only table that I'm going to have my opportunity in. You are going to make your own table, and that table is going to be successful. So it was a great message with everything going on with COVID. A lot of
one of her quotes that stood out for me when you finish.
Yeah, a lot of people that have graduated are probably feeling very before the speech they were probably feeling very discouraged, deflated with everything going on, because the future is uncertain for some people. You know, some people's life has really changed because of COVID, so for a lot of them, maybe some of their parents are not working, they're now thinking, gosh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Their plans for the future may have possibly changed. Mm-hmm. So hearing her say everything she said has probably put a lot of things in perspective for a lot of people. So I do appreciate that video, and yes, I loved it.
Yeah, she said, let vulnerability motivate you. Mm. Bet on yourself, you are investing in your future. Mm. Every thought you make is powerful. Every word you speak is powerful. Mm. So, you know, we've got to take some of those words. I mean, it is Beyonce. I'm sure there are so many other people with so many more inspiring words, but because we're talking about Mama Carter right now, we're going to use her a little speech. All right.
It's been a good week.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Very eventful.
Hope you guys tune in to next week.
Hope you enjoyed this episode as well.
Yep.
Also, just to wrap up with everything, I hope that you enjoy the shows when you watch them, if you're going to watch them. And if you want, please drop us an email if you have any questions you want us to answer or discuss. And also follow us on Instagram at Fully Geeked Ladies, as well as Twitter, Fully Geeked Ladies. So yes, we will be back with another episode next week.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.